Hello, my name's Dave Emery. This is Sod 2 of For the Record Program number 496, Triumph of the Shill, Part 5, Update on the Gruppenführer. This is being recorded on January 23rd of the year 2005, and before we resume discussion of Governor Schwarzenegger and what he's done so far, recall that there is the Spitfire website, a critically important and sadly underused resource, www.spitfirelist.com. There are thousands of pages of printed information on that website. There are also links to websites maintained by sister station WFMU that are archiving the For the Record shows on Real Audio. More recent programs streaming at www.wfmu.org/Dave Emery, one word, DaveEmory. Older shows available for download only at a longer URL. Link to both that address and to the For the Record section of the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. On the Spitfire website, again, there are thousands of pages of printed material, including long written annotated article-length descriptions of the For the Record shows, usually up within a couple of weeks of the airing of the broadcasts. There are also both real audio and MP3 files of the most recently recorded pair of half-hour segments available for download, again for free. The book Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, critical to an understanding of contemporary events and the For the Record shows in particular. That book's available on both PDF and HTML. Also links to a website maintained by listeners in the Midwest that feature declassified government documents about the Bush family's involvement with Nazi industry before, during, and after World War II. There's also a page to click on for people who would like to support the work that I'm doing. Okay, now, updating the Gruppenführer. In Side 1, first of all, we revisited a short section of, actually not such a short section, a fairly long section of For the Record 422, titled True Lies, More About Conan the Republican. And in that, we took a look at a couple of aspects of Arnold Schwarzenegger's career. In the first place, we took a look at what appears to have been his concrete political genesis. He's had political ambitions for many years, but it appears that his actual launching of his gubernatorial candidacy came about as a result of a tete-a-tete between Governor Schwarzenegger, would-be Governor Schwarzenegger, and Kenneth Lay, the CEO, the disgraced and now indicted CEO of Enron. And specifically, they were talking about how to deflect the $9 billion class action lawsuit that had been initiated by the state of California and Lieutenant Governor Cruz Bustamante. That lawsuit basically was because of the deliberate bilking of California by big energy firms, including and especially Enron. And in For the Record programs 280 and 420, we took a look at how the energy companies, including and especially Enron, allied with the Bush administration, deliberately bilked and then destabilized, as a result, the state of California. By the way, as we looked at in For the Record 429, no sooner did Schwarzenegger get elected than he agreed to settle the lawsuits that are underway for pennies on the dollar. And that was not reported by very many news media at all. That is, however, reported in For the Record program 429. We took a look also at Arnold Schwarzenegger's professional career in bodybuilding, and specifically the manner in which he employs a Machiavellian psychological warfare technique in which he deliberately manipulates people by leading them in one direction, assuring them that this is what they're going to get, and then he turns around, pulls the rug out from under him, and does the exact opposite of what he said he was going to do. So far, that's exactly what he has done in California. Again, no sooner did he get elected, even before he took the oath of office, than he agreed to settle the lawsuits, the pending lawsuits, for pennies on the dollar, thereby literally selling out the state of California. He has indulged in more special interest money than any of his predecessors. He has not run an open government of the type that he says he would do. And as we're going to see, basically he's doing to the state of California exactly what he did to Lou Ferrigno in Pumping Iron. And there's no reason to assume that if, in fact, he goes on to become president of the United States, that he's going to do anything different. Let's take a look at more of the results of the triumph of the shill. We're going to take a look at what the Gruppenführer has been doing. This comes from the website of a radio station. It was on, I'll put the full URL in the description for this show. It's from KFMB.com, March 27th, 2004. Governor Schwarzenegger forms group to raise funds. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has quietly incorporated a private nonprofit group that can help advance his political goals without disclosing the source of its money. Organizers insist the new corporation, which can raise money, lobby lawmakers, and conduct business, won't be used to hide special interest donations to Schwarzenegger. But they acknowledge that it could legally avoid disclosure under a variety of circumstances. The new entity, which received tax-exempt status from the Internal Revenue Service this week, comes forward as the Republican governor sets a near-record pace in fundraising. After spending nearly $27 million to win the October recall election, Schwarzenegger has added $11 million since and appears poised to raise millions more before the November election. Still more about his crafty piling up of the big bucks to do political battle. This is an AP story. It's from the San Francisco Chronicle. The article is titled, "Nonprofits Tangle Schwarzenegger's Fundraising Machine." It's by Tom Chourneau of the AP, dated November 19, 2004. Despite promises to open up government and even his own calendar for public review, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's efforts to reshape California benefit from millions of dollars in spending by nonprofit groups that are not required to disclose where they get or how they spend their money. These groups have supported some of Schwarzenegger's most memorable events, including trade missions to Tokyo and Tel Aviv, bus tours up and down the state, and even the July appearance at a shopping mall in Ontario where he called Democrats, quote, girly men, unquote, during the budget impasse. So again, Schwarzenegger doing exactly what he said he wasn't going to do. He assured open government, an independence from special interests, and in fact, he's operating a very clandestine government and is in bed with the very special interests he professes to oppose and is setting up corporations in order to evade public scrutiny, as well as centralizing power in himself. Yet another story. This one is from the L.A. Times of May 27th of 2004. Article by Peter Nichols of the L.A. Times. It's headlined, "Consumer Activists Troubled by Governor's Firings." Surprise, surprise. For the third time since taking office last fall, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has ousted a high-ranking state consumer regulator, stirring complaints among advocates that he is stripping a respected consumer protection department of its strongest voices. And again, Schwarzenegger has basically been running a corporatist agenda, vetoed a bill that would have raised the minimum wage, a really stupid thing in light of the fact that we're facing enormous budget deficits. First place, people that are at the bottom of the wage scale generally spend what they earn in order to buy things that they need. That would not only stimulate the retail economy, but generate sales taxes. Plus, they would be making more money. That's going to increase income taxes as well. The state income tax would increase, and that would help to lower the budget deficit. Among the other things Schwarzenegger has proposed that I'm not going to go into, he has even proposed eliminating guaranteed lunch breaks for state workers. Now, if you want to see inefficient state government, you get a bunch of state workers that haven't had a lunch break, and their rear ends are going to be dragging something serious along about the sixth hour of their eight-hour workday. And consequently, we will have a less efficient state government. But don't try telling that to Governor Schwarzenazi, because he doesn't appear to be listening to people like you and I. But he is listening to folks, and those are people that have the big bucks, the corporations, the Bush interests, and allied elements. The following is from the San Jose Mercury News, I should say, of Wednesday, November 24th of 2004. Logging pledge quietly ignored. Schwarzenegger vowed to oppose increase. It's by Paul Rogers of the San Jose Mercury News. And bear in mind my prognostications about Schwarzenegger operating in a Machiavellian psychological warfare mode in which he would knowingly and cynically lead people in one direction and double back and stick it to them by coming from the opposite direction from what he had said he would do. Consider the following. A year ago, when he was running for governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger promised to fight attempts by the Bush administration to roll back a landmark Clinton-era policy that reduced logging on 11 million acres of national forest across California's Sierra Nevada range. Yet the Bush administration killed Clinton's Sierra plan last week without a peep of protest from Schwarzenegger. The governor and his staff also did not appeal the original Bush decision in January when 6,200 other members of the public filed appeals with the U.S. Forest Service. The campaign promise, part of Arnold's agenda to bring California back, unquote, has now been removed from his website. Environmentalists are incensed, charging that Schwarzenegger backed away from one of his central environmental campaign promises and one of the few in which the then-Republican candidate directly disagreed with the Bush administration on an environmental issue. Quote, "There was a lot of talk about upholding the Clinton plan," unquote, said Paul Mason, state forestry director for the Sierra Club, "and when push comes to shove, they didn't show up," unquote. Well, again, surprise, surprise, whoever would have thought that Arnold Schwarzenegger would deliberately lead people in one direction and then double back on them and betray them? Can't imagine how such a thing would be taking place, can you? AP story about Chevron and its role in helping to reform, unquote, state government. Again, AP story from the Yahoo website. It's by Tom Chourneau of the Associated Press. Dateline Sacramento on Thursday, September 2nd of the year 2004. It reads in part, "Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's ambitious plan to reorganize almost every aspect of state government was influenced significantly by oil and gas giant Chevron Texaco Corporation, which managed to shape such key recommendations as the removal of restrictions on oil refineries." Surprise, surprise. The Chevron Corporation has helped to significantly influence the, quote, reorganization, unquote, of state government that Schwarzenegger has been undertaking. And surprise, surprise, Schwarzenegger's, quote, reforms, unquote, are turning out simply to be manifestations of exactly the sort of corporatist government that Mussolini and Hitler would have been very, very proud of. Again, note that basically what we're seeing here is a sort of the establishment of an American Duce or an American Fuhrer. In, for the record, 529 and in some other programs that I've done after Schwarzenegger got elected, I noted an article that had actually it was the transcript of the late Alistair Cook's Letter from America that had been aired on public radio for many years. And in that, Alistair Cook noted Schwarzenegger's professed admiration for Adolf Hitler and wondered aloud about whether the Schwarzenegger governorship would augur a new reinvigoration of democracy, or would see the ascension of what Cook called the first American Fuhrer, unquote. Well, again, repeating a short section from an article of from the L.A. Times that I looked at, that we looked at, I should say, in Side 1. Article by Jody Freeman of the L.A. Times, August 9, 2004. "Reform proposal would hand many key decisions to the governor's appointees. The proposal to reorganize state government, unveiled last week, contains some elements that are reasonable and some that aren't. Most disturbing in the plan, buried deep in the 2,500-page report, is an agenda to bolster Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's grip on power." In many ways, Schwarzenegger is behaving like a classic fascist. He's using everyman rhetoric and using his celebrity status and movie star persona to sort of relate to the average man or woman. And he's got that one down fairly well at this point. Plus, obviously, his movie career has given him a strong, a very strong public pulpit, so to speak, but basically he's using everyman populist rhetoric in order to reinforce what is basically an elitist, corporatist government that is not in the best interests of the overwhelming majority of people in this state. He said he'd run a more open government. He's running a less open government. He said basically that he would oppose special interests and wouldn't be beholden unto them. Instead, he is awash. He's taken more special interest money than any other California governor. He's doing so deceptively. This guy basically makes Gray Davis look like Mother Teresa. And yet, he's getting a free pass. There is no article I've seen that I think embodies, and there's a pun there, the grotesque contradictions of Arnold Schwarzenegger than his vetoing of a bill that would have made it very much more difficult, would have greatly reduced the ability of high school athletes and young athletes to obtain destructive steroids and other dietary supplements. Recall that as the steroid scandal vis-a-vis baseball broke, there was a lot of grandstanding from various people, including President Bush, about how it was just... It was shocking, shocked, that he was shocked that athletes were using steroids and that it was essential to protect our young athletes from steroids and from the harm that could come from them and blah, 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 blah. And Schwarzenegger was up there saying, yep, he was part of the amen chorus. Even among bodybuilders who basically do what they do in no small measure because of steroids and other dietary supplements, Schwarzenegger was notorious. He'd gobble them in by the handful. There's ample discussion of that in the book Arnold, an unauthorized biography of Arnold Schwarzenegger by Wendy Lee. Schwarzenegger has continued to profit from his involvement with the bodybuilding business, and some of his profits come from some of those very questionable dietary supplements that Bush and Arnold and everybody had been warning against. And although it is not as politically significant, perhaps, as some of the other things that Schwarzenegger has done, his marrow-deep hypocrisy on basically steroids and other dietary supplements literally, again, pun intended, embodies the hypocrisy of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Following articles from the San Jose Mercury News of November 17th through 23rd of 2004, this is a free weekly that's available in the South Bay, this particular article, it's in the Metro News section. The author is not immediately available here, but this article is called Pumping Poison. The governor goes girly man when it comes to clamping down on teenage dietary supplement abuse by Peter Byrne. In late September, in what appears to be a conflict of interest, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger vetoed a bill that could have affected his personal finances. The legislation proposed that as a condition of playing sports, public high school athletes agree not to use performance-enhancing dietary supplements, PEDs, that are listed as dangerous by the Department of Health. Authored by Senator Jackie Speier, Democrat of San Mateo, Senate Bill 1630 also prohibited public schools from accepting sponsorships from supplement manufacturers, and it forbade school officials to promote or sell PEDs to students. The bill was not directed against vitamins, minerals, Gatorade, and benign substances that are generally recognized by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration as safe. Speier targeted the use of pain-numbing concoctions designed to build muscle mass and improve athletic performance by exciting the cardiovascular and central nervous systems. Popular dietary supplements such as ephedrine and androstenedione, A-N-D-R-O-S-T-E-N-E-D-I-O-N-E, have been linked to the deaths of young athletes. In his veto message, Schwarzenegger claimed without citing any statistics or studies that most dietary supplements are safe. He said that state regulation of supplements is not needed because the FDA already regulates these substances. Quote, "What most people do not understand is that PEDs are not regulated by the FDA," says Roger Blake, an official with the California Interscholastic Federation, a state-funded organization of high school sports officials advocating for Speier's bill. The FDA treats cocktails of, quote, body-shredding amino acids, unquote, and hormones as food. The agency does not test or approve them. In other words, Schwarzenegger was lying. Why was he lying? Well, listen to the rest of the article, and I think maybe you'll get an idea why he lied. Blake notes that about 3% of California's 700,000 student-athletes take steroids. A recent Blue Cross Blue Shield study reports that nationally, more than a million adolescents use potentially dangerous performance-enhancing supplements and drugs, unquote. Last month, Congress passed the Anabolic Steroid Control Act of 2004, adding to a list of controlled substances many chemical compounds often marketed as PEDs. Blake says the Internet is a major pipeline for PEDs sales, including anabolic steroids. The latter are illegal to buy in the United States without a prescription. The PEDs industry is reported to gross more than $4 billion a year. Part of that goes to Schwarzenegger's pocket. Surprise, surprise. Continuing. According to Schwarzenegger's statement of economic interests, he had extensive financial ties to the PEDs industry when he assumed office in November of 2003. The California Political Reform Act, as administered by the Fair Political Practices Commission, says that an elected official such as a governor must disqualify himself from taking any governmental action on a matter which he has reason to know could significantly impact his economic interests. FPPC guidelines say that an official has an economic interest in an individual or organization from whom he has, quote, received $500 or more dollars in income within 12 months prior to the relevant governmental decision. In order for a conflict of interest to occur, the official's action must be discretionary. It must significantly impact his economic interest. Depending on the size of the interest, the definition of significant, unquote, ranges from $5,000 up to $10 million. According to his disclosure statement, Schwarzenegger earned more than $100,000 last year from Classic Productions Incorporated, based in Worthington, Ohio. Again, reviewing the last sentence before we go into this one, depending on the size of the interest, the definition of significant, unquote, ranges from $5,000 up to $10 million. According to his disclosure statement, Schwarzenegger earned more than $100,000 last year from Classic Productions Incorporated, based in Worthington, Ohio. Using the trade name Schwarzenegger Lorimer Productions, Classic Productions is producing a fitness expo in Columbus known as the Arnold Classic in March. In an interview last week, Schwarzenegger's business partner of 30 years, Jim Lorimer, said that he and the governor formed Classic Productions Incorporated in 1993. Lorimer was president, Schwarzenegger vice president. Lorimer says when Schwarzenegger became governor, he divested his Classic Productions Incorporated stock and he is no longer a corporate officer. Quote, "I am the owner of Classic Productions," Lorimer explains. "Schwarzenegger Lorimer Productions is no longer an operating entity. The promoter is thankful," unquote, "that the governor will still participate in the fitness expo named after him. The exact arrangements are confidential," Lorimer says, "but Schwarzenegger receives no income from participating." Classic Productions' advertising campaign for the Arnold Classic is constructed around Schwarzenegger's persona and focuses on his active participation in it. The event's primary sponsors are PEDS sellers such as Twin Lab, Muscle Tech, and Bodytronics Pinnacle, which are listed as Investments, Income, and Assets of Business Entities Trusts for Classic Productions Incorporated in the governor's disclosure. Last year, according to the disclosure, Schwarzenegger received income from 18 manufacturers and distributors of PEDS. Products sold by those companies include creatine monohydrate, glutamine, testosterone boosters, anabolics, and fruit-flavored amino acid drinks. Lorimer says that these companies are all paid sponsors of the Arnold Classic. This world-class event is also sponsored by Wider Communications, which owns Muscle and Fitness and Flex magazines. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, executive editor. Both of the governor's muscle mags are packed with advertisements for PEDS. An unsigned editorial in a recent Flex observed, quote, "At the pro level, muscle-enhancing drugs such as testosterone, anabolic steroids, and growth hormone are a fact of life," unquote. In other words, more psychological warfare from the Gruppenführer, more lies, more deception from Governor Schwarzenegger. In other words, basically, he's doing to us and to young people around the country exactly what he did to Lou Ferrigno in Pumping Iron, and there is no reason to assume he would ever do anything else, now or in the future. One of the ways that Schwarzenegger has gotten such a free pass on the many rotten things he's already done is because the media treat him with kid gloves, kind of like the way they treat George Bush. There are a few differences. Schwarzenegger is not the son of the man for whom CIA headquarters is named. President Bush is. Schwarzenegger, however, has this movie career that has obviously made him a household figure. And in fact, that movie career is one of the things that has enabled him to escape criticism. Also, the fact that he has a member of the Kennedy family, herself a celebrity in her own right, Maria Shriver, for a wife, has done much to get him off the hook as well. I suspect that one of the things behind Schwarzenegger's rise to power are the combined influences of reactionary Catholic organizations. One of his earliest political allies was Richard Reardon, mayor of Los Angeles. He is a member of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, the Knights of Malta, and the Shriver family are associated with Opus Dei, another reactionary Catholic organization. Whether or not that speculation is substantive, I certainly think that it is pretty much obvious that it is his relationship with Arnold Schwarzenegger that tends to soften his hard right-wing Republican image. That and a few token gestures in the direction of environmentalism, then those usually being reversed. We're going to take a look now at an aspect of Schwarzenegger's relationship to Maria Shriver. I suspect, basically, that Maria has some very deep-seated problems, and it appears to be, frankly, a very sick relationship. We're going to read a short section about Arnold's sense of humor. This from the unauthorized biography Arnold by Wendy Lee, published by Congdon and Weed in hardcover. After the publication of this book, by the way, which revealed Arnold's Nazi sympathies, Wendy Lee began getting telephone death threats. We read of an encounter that bodybuilder Boyer Coe had with Maria and Arnold in New Orleans. This is 1978, by the way. On September 15th, Arnold and Maria were in New Orleans for the Spinks-Ali fight at the Superdome. Arnold had never been to New Orleans, so their guide was bodybuilding great Boyer Coe, a Louisiana native. After a day's sightseeing, Boyer took Arnold and Maria to dinner at the Caribbean Room in the Pontchartrain Hotel. There, he ordered the hotel's special dessert for them to share. Mile-high pie, which measures a foot high, is an enticing mixture of spumoni topped with meringue and smothered in thick chocolate sauce. Smiling in anticipation, Maria was about to eat a mouthful when suddenly Arnold grabbed her by the back of the neck and pushed her face right into it. Maria, niece of a president, granddaughter of a multimillionaire and one of America's princesses, found herself covered in mounds of meringue and rivulets of chocolate sauce. Boyer says that Maria was, to say the least, surprised. Arnold, of course, having captured the attention of the entire Caribbean Room, was delighted. He reportedly played the pie-in-the-face joke on Maria and other friends a number of times. In a July 1988 interview with Cable Guide, he boasted of a variation on it, telling a waitress that the cream is off, inviting her to smell it, then pushing her face into it. In another interview, Maria, when asked by a journalist which of Arnold's qualities she liked, declared, "his sense of humor," unquote. And when the journalist who had done his homework asked, "You mean the sour milk in the face trick doesn't appall you?" Maria answered, "No." Persisting, he asked, "Not even in your own face?" "No, of course not," came the reply. Well, again, I suspect this is a very, very sick relationship, Frank, at the risk of seeming a trifle judgmental. And I would suggest that basically we here in California are getting the the cream in the face joke here, rather like the rest of California, rest of the United States will be if he becomes Führer of the United States. And again, we're all getting this cream in the face. So we're being told that the cream is off, and when we smell it, we get our face pushed right into it. He's doing it to California, and he may be doing it to America if the people behind the Amend for Arnold amendment are able to do that. By the way, For the Record 492 has some more information about that Amend for Arnold amendment, the people behind it, and also who Schwarzenegger's largest financial backer is, and it's worth considering. WFMU is archiving the For the Record shows on Real Audio. More recent programs at www.wfmu.org/Dave Emery. Older shows available at a longer address, linked to both that address and to the For the Record section of the Spitfire website, which features detailed, annotated, article-length descriptions of the For the Record shows in the Spitfire website. There are thousands of pages of documentation. There are both PDF and HTML files of the book Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, available. Links to a website with documents about the Bush family's involvement in Nazi industry. And a page to click on in order to support the work that I'm doing. Again, the Spitfire website, www.spitfirelist.com. That concludes Side 2 of For the Record program number 496, Triumph of the Shill, Part 5. Update on the Gruppenführer. This is being recorded on January 23rd of the year 2005. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.